Book My Show Jukebox presents the Control Alt Win podcast. Hello there. On this episode, let's talk about parenting. Let me begin by sharing an interesting anecdote with you. A friend and his wife visited us the other day to invite us for their daughter's wedding. Our friend asked me if we were looking out for a marriage alliance for our son. Well, our son Ashirvad is 27 now. Given our culture and the prevalent social norms, I was not surprised with the question. In fact, our daughter Anchal is 22, and it is only a matter of time before people are keen to suggest matches for her too. Replying to my friend's question, I said, both Vani and I had left the choice of finding their companions to our two children. But our friend went on to say that we must definitely influence our children to get married. He added that we must show them the right direction and insist that they make informed decisions. I politely disagreed with my friend. I told him that we offer our perspectives only when we are asked for them. Sensing my disinterest in debating this point any further, our friend left it at that, thankfully. I often wonder, why is it that we don't leave our children alone? I am not only referring to adult children being given their space. Even children in their teens must be given the freedom of choice. Their lives and aspirations are too precious to be limited by our own insecurities and mindsets. It may appear to you that since my children are now adults, Vani and I are well past the most demanding phase of parenting, which is childhood and adolescence. Well, it's not quite so. We are discovering that parenting is an ever-evolving responsibility. You never really cease being a parent. In fact, my views on parenting come from experience, from the way I was raised, and from what Vani and I have learned through raising Ashirvad and Anchal. I was brought up in a typical conservative setting with my parents never quite trusting me. So one of the promises Vani and I made to ourselves when we became parents is that we would trust our children. We have empowered our children with the values we live by and have always encouraged them to make decisions for themselves. This approach has worked for us. Both Ashirvad and Anchal have turned out to be independent, creative, and are also very grounded. To me, what the venerable Lebanese-American thinker and author Khalil Gibran has said on parenting makes a lot of sense. He said that our children are born through us and not for us. Isn't it beautiful? Children are born through us and not for us. I totally believe we are only instruments that delivered our children here. So, we are not possessive about them. Children are not things to be possessed. We must recognize them as individual human beings, like you and me. You don't control human beings. If you do, you're a slave driver. You're a dictator. You're not a parent. A key point I would like to make is that we must consider how choiceless birth is. Yours, mine, even your child's. Children cannot choose their sex, or their parents, or their homes, or their places of birth, or even their names. Everything is given. In fact, everything is forced on them. So obviously, we must at least give our children the opportunity to choose in matters where it is still possible to exercise a choice. We must let them choose what they want to study, who they want to be, or who they want as their companions. Looking after and raising children with the right set of values does not give us the license to force them to do anything and everything we want done. But invariably, we force a lot. What to eat, what to wear, and when to sleep. We decide their careers for them and insist that they live their life fulfilling our dreams for them. We force them to marry. We even tell them whom to marry and when to marry. We demand that they must have children and also dictate when they must have them. Sadly, my friends, the truth is that we parents don't see being a parent as a blessing, as a privilege. Instead, we often confuse our parent status with ownership. My child does not ever mean to us parents that the child is in my care. It has always meant I own this child. It is only during the early bringing up stage, which is from age 0 to 10, that you can claim to have a protective role as a parent. That role is to provide for the child's needs and to teach the child the right values. Beyond that stage, you must recognize that your child is a totally unique individual who is different from you. Let's not try to make our children like us. Let them be different. Just because you're a doctor does not mean your child should be one too. Help the child understand her or his calling by allowing experimentation, by trying and failing maybe even 100 times. Our current education system in India is very restrictive and taxing on children. It measures talent only in set parameters: science, history, geography, a few languages, and math. But what if the child wants to be an artist, or an entrepreneur, or an inventor, or a writer, or a politician, or a photographer, or a musician, or an actor? Unless you have given ample choice to a child and seen for yourself the level of proficiency and passion the child has in a field, do not influence the child to study a said field. Grades and marks are not the only markers. Joy is a key indicator. Try and understand how much joy a child derives doing something. Effortlessness is another indicator. Look to know how easily is a child able to accomplish something. When you focus on joy and effortlessness, you will be unlocking a child's true potential. The most efficient way in which you can raise children in their teens through to young adulthood is to be their best friends first and parents later. Just as you have taught them a set of values and guiding principles, please employ a key value, which is trust, in your relationship with your children. Please understand that just like you and I were in those years, any teenager will have a crush on someone, or will smoke, or will drink alcohol, or will visit a porn site. It is not that the child has a devious design or desire to revolt at this point. It is their bewilderment with the world, their urge to discover and sample all that's on offer on the world's menu card, that's making them do all that they do. When you react to this natural curiosity unnaturally, which is when you express shock, embarrassment, grief, and anger at your child's sense of adventure, you're basically telling your child that you don't trust him or her. Nothing can wreck a child's self-esteem more than knowing that the parents don't trust him or her. Once that trust threshold is breached, then the child turns rebellious, either openly or covertly. And so the infamous generation gap that we once cursed in our own teens reappears in our lives, in our homes. The right way to engage with your teen, who will be a young adult soon, is to have lots of honest conversations. When my children were in their teens, both Vani and I told them what we had learnt from doing the same stuff that we saw them wanting to do. We told them to go ahead and do it themselves. But we also invited them to share notes. We didn't feel embarrassed talking about sex, or about liquor, or smoking, or about anything adult with them. That's why I say that being a friend to your child is critical. You must be open, available, and inviting always. Having said that, educate your child on morality, on being true to their conscience, and what the law says about many of these matters. On, say, drinking and driving, on pirated movies, on the difference between consensual sex and rape, on the use of contraband and narcotics. Let your perspective, however, not be a command or a directive. Let it be an informed appeal. Define boundaries surely, but also define clear no-nos. We told our children that they were good to have a drink with us at home, but only when they turned 18. We also told them that drinking and driving was a no-no. I told them about the tobacco habit I once had and how difficult it was for me to let go of it. So smoking, we advised them, was a clear no-no. And trying weed or any other form of dope clearly was a no-no again. Watching pirated movies, we told our children, was a no-no too, as it amounted to stealing someone's intellectual property. Such empowering conversations have worked just great for all four of us, for Vani and me, and for Ashirvad and Anchal. We have learned that when you genuinely repose faith and confidence, children usually behave very responsibly. Remember also that if you want your children to be leaders, please do not make the decisions for them, right from what they eat or what they wear or to what they want to do in and with their lives. This does not mean that you should not express your opinion. By all means, do that. Just don't decide for them. Teach them what's right and what's wrong. Don't force them to agree with you on either. Teach them how to be disciplined. Don't insist that they follow suit immediately. Teach them the value of money, but don't demand that they avoid taking risks. Teach them to love, to care, and to be humane. Just don't expect that they will immediately embrace all the lessons you share. Basically, don't try to live their lives. Trust them to do well for themselves. But also keep reminding them that the doors to your home and heart are always open for them, 24/7. So that when they do want to come back to share, to confess, to catch up, or to just cuddle up, they are always welcome. Parental anxiety is a natural response to teenage enthusiasm. But please rise above your anxieties. Your child's adolescent and young adult years need not be as stressful for both of you if you can understand your child's mind and thinking better. Wanting your child to be just like you is futile, because every child has a right to be an independent individual. And whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, your child will exercise that right. So, since it is an eventuality that you cannot avoid, you might as well be your child's best friend and partner in progress. My dear friends, as I said earlier, parenting is an ever-evolving responsibility. You start off being your child's provider and protector. But have you realized this? You are also the child's first teacher. Then once the child enters teenage and soon becomes an adult, you are both teacher and friend for the longest time. In most families, your children will be at home with you only in the first 20 years of their life. Then they fly away to build their careers, their families, and their lives their way. If you don't invest quality time being with your children now, when they're still around you, remember, you can't wind the clock back and get the opportunity to live their childhood and adolescent years with them again. The Control-Alt-Win podcast is produced by Audio Boom in association with Avis Vishwanathan.